Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and boy, our topic today really fits the environment here in the Pacific Northwest. We have had so much rain. We have had so much gray. All of us have been sort of going around with long faces. It's supposed to be summertime. The sun is supposed to be shining, and woohoo, it is today. We're just all excited here in the Pacific Northwest. Alexandra Parnes is going to be my guest today, and it's a subject, like I said, it's just as bright as the weather that we're experiencing here, and that is activate joy. And, well, let's just go right to Alexandra. Alexandra, this has been a delightful book to go through. I met you in New York, and you're a woman, you're a minister, you are also a clairvoyant, you love teaching. You have your own Inner Focus Church, and you have an Inner Focus Advanced Healing School. You really want to empower people. You very much have a same agenda as I do, but yours is in your own personal way. What is it that drives you to just really help people open up to their own talents? Why is this so important to you?
I think that when I look into the world, Donna, and I see so much pain and suffering, that I ask my own higher self and myself many, many years ago, what can I do to make a difference? And the beauty of asking a question like that to yourself, which is obviously self-reflective question, is that you begin to take a look at what you can do personally. Not without a group and not without other people, but just all by yourself. So I just started getting interested in, first, as a minister, I was very interested in the teachings of Jesus, and I was interested in why they took healing out of Christianity in some ways. That was the beginning of my path. So I started to interview many, you know, Episcopalian priests and ministers, and I went into the Catholic Church, and I was surprised to find that there are many charismatic movements. So that excited me that healing is in that area, but I wanted to do more. So my book, Activate Joy, is really I wouldn't call it an autobiography, but I would say it's my story as to how I started out in that very beginning place, which so many of us have done. And then each time I hit a new milestone, each time I went into a new level, universe expands and you've got new teachings in front of you. So then I began to recognize the creative spirit that each one of us possess. I lost my husband 11 years ago, and that whole experience in all these years really gave me the foundation to activating joy. And you were just talking about the Pacific Northwest and the rain, and I was on the phone doing an interview last week with people in Colorado and New Mexico. How do you find joy when your house is burning down and you've got people all around you who are really suffering? My whole intention is to show people how to bring joy into their life. I don't care where they are. Mm-hmm. And so I could bring that all the way down into that nutshell of who I am today, why Activate Joy was written, and why it's in Barnes & Noble and all the bookstores. Yes, I self-published it, but a publisher's life was changed, and she wanted it out there, and it got out there in a few months. So the universe has answered that call for me. I know it's answered it for you. And so many people that are listening right now want to know how we do that. How do we go about using our own unique talents to get us to the place we really want to go?
In my experience, all of us travel our own unique journeys, and some of your stories, I think, are fascinating, and that's one of the joys that I feel when people like yourself share your stories. Others, when they read those stories, recognize that there is a part of their life that has a similar ring of experience to it. And I wanted to talk about what's in the very beginning of your book. You talk about your experience with Ouna and the dolphin. And when you said you started researching different faiths, different environments of their cultural substance, and you looked at it and you said, then the universe expands. And I think that that has been happening to so many, many people. And especially over the last 20 to 30 years, it has increased even more than could have ever been thought of. And that's because we are evolving into a whole different understanding. People are waking up to the fact that we really live in a phenomenal universe. Yesterday I was talking about, for just a few moments, the Hubble telescope that's out there in space that's showing us things that we could only fantasize about. Science fiction writers wrote about it for a long time, and then, ta-da, there it is. There is more to learn, more to know. You never have it all. And your dolphin experience was quite interesting, and then I just had to chuckle because you had your Blue Jean Buddha. And I love that title. I thought that is just so cool. And that was Dr. Robert Jaffe, and you've worked with him. Then you were introduced to Marcos Orbito, a Filipino psychic surgeon. And this is something that I'd like for you to share, because it, your husband at that time was alive. This was an experience you had. Tell us about what happened when you were introduced to Marcos Orbito and how it changed your life.
Well, first of all, back in the early 80s, this was 1980, literally, 80, 81, 82, around in there. And my husband had suffered a heart attack. He came in from trying to mow the lawn, gray, and I hadn't really developed all of the abilities I have today. But, you know, when you look at a person, I think we're going to get in the car and we're going to the hospital. So we got in the car, went to the hospital. He had a heart attack in the middle of the night. I've never been. Now, I come from a family of doctors and nurses, so I'm on the opposite end of it all. I've never been a doctor person or particularly been interested in all of that. And my first extremely spiritual experience happened the next day, when his doctor came and said they wanted to do an angiogram, and literally in front of my face, a hand came down and screamed no in my head. That happened three times. Well, I had already been with Seth for all of in the 1970s, so I understood that there were experiences beyond our physical experience, and so I said to her, I had to sign. So I said, well, I don't feel good about this. Let me go and ask some questions. I literally went and was told that this wouldn't be a good thing for him right in that moment. So I had to trust that guidance. People came to my door. I took Lee home in a week. He was fine. Everybody was mad at me. The guy was going to kill him, you know, kind of thing. But I had, that was my first real test of holding on to what I believed was really the right, you know, the right path. Some people came to my door, I didn't know who they were, and told me about Marcos. Now, Lee had only been out of the hospital a few days. It was High Holy Days. We were in the Jewish temple at the time. And I was having the entire congregation at my home for Break the Fast that Saturday. And these guys sat down and told us about this person. And the man sat and told me about how he had been healed. And I decided not to say another word. I had already done my thing. Now I was letting Lee do his. And this is an important piece to go into it with. Well, they were in Albuquerque. We're in Las Vegas. Saturday morning, we get on a plane. No, I guess it was Friday night. and we fly to Albuquerque, I am quaking in my boots because he shouldn't be on an airplane. Mm-hmm. So I thought, okay, Lee, you're making your own decision. Let's go with it. We go down there. Now, Marcos wasn't able to speak English really well, but the way most of the psychic surgeons do it is they want to get you into a spiritual place first. So they do like a sermon. Then what ends up happening is you disrobe. Everybody brings a bathrobe. You go into the room. Now, I don't think I put this in the book. I had had an experience. I had a tumor underneath my diaphragm, but I hadn't gone to anybody to see what that really was. I just knew it was there because I couldn't put my arms down. I walked around with my arms behind my head. So I decided I was going to go in first. Now, meanwhile, Lee's pretty green. He is not, if anybody's seen anybody who's had a heart attack, they kind of look a little gray-green color because the blood isn't really going through well. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, I'm going to go in first. I go in, and as God is my witness, this guy plunges into my abdomen, pulls this thing out, throws it in a dish, and I, like, okie dokie, took 2.5 minutes. I go out, but I'm pretty sick then. And then Lee goes in. Now, he goes in green, and he comes out bright pink. I'm watching him as he comes out, because now I'm scared. I don't know what's going to happen. Long and short of it was, I traveled with them for 2 years.
Oh, my goodness.
I did. I went. I didn't go to the Philippines ever, but they would come to the States, and we would travel from Las Vegas. We'd travel all the way up, stop in many different places. The path to my own healership was solidified during that time because I watched firsthand what really happens in a healing, and that is that all disease, in my opinion, in my vision, all disease is really thought forms. Because I watched Marcos. I was standing there. He would go in. There were children that would come in with, cancers all over them. There was this one woman that had 13 huge nodules all over her. And he would take them off. They'd come out without anything on. I used to do prayers afterwards. And he would say to them, but you have to change the way you think. Took me back to Jesus, who said, you know, I'm going to heal you of these negativities, but if you don't change the way you think, they'll come back and more. Mm-hmm. Now, that was the foundation for where I was going to go with the school. Because in my Inner Focus school, it's a 4-year certification school, I understood these principles so deeply that I was then able to put processes together that would help people see that whatever you're dealing with, I don't care what it is, there's a thought form behind it. And if you can shift that thought form, your disease must go away. If that's your choice. Now, there's the kicker. If it's your choice.
That's very, very significant. Very significant.
So, but a healer, Donna, you and I, our job is to help them value the choice. That's what I do. I help people value that choice. So it's not just a fly-by-night, kick it to the side. But no, there's value out of going back, paying attention to those belief systems that got started way back, and then watching them come forward so that when the release happens, it holds. That's the key to healing, is that you can find an energy, you can move it, but can you keep it moved? Can you hold that energy?
I think that your words are very, very powerful. And that is part of the pleasure of reading your book, Activate Joy. You bring out so many different points, and I have to share, just yesterday I was having lunch with a dear, dear friend of mine. She's 91 years young, and we were talking, and it was such a joy. And when she told me her age, because at one point in the conversation, I asked her, how old are you really? She said, 91. I said, that is fabulous. Now, here's someone who belies the image that you would have of a 91-year-old, just like yeah. Jack LaLanne belied the image of a 95-year-old, 96-year-old. And I looked at her, and she's lovely. We talked about things. It was a conversation that you could have expected 30-year-olds were having. And I thought, what is it that we've got with age that it is assumed? And I've seen this many, many times. People buy into an image. And if you're 16 or 17, anything above 20 is an antique. I mean, I don't care what generation you belong to. But there is this mentality that goes back because people are living so much longer today. They often are feeling lost when they're getting older. It's like, well, gee whiz, this is what I was taught. So you go into those belief systems and reversing them.
Saying, absolutely.
This is what you can do. You reverse them
yeah.
so that you do live your life with a sense of joy, with a sense of purpose. Now, I use age as an example, but it's the same thing with talents. I have a client, a woman that I know of, who is in her early 60s, and she had just bought into certain ideas that her life was going to be this way. She was retiring, blah, blah, blah. Well, her whole life just was totally turned upside down. She's gone back to work. She is revitalized. This is a brilliant person. This is an individual that has so much intelligence. But yet she's willing to close it all down because that's what she was taught when
right.
she was younger. And here we have a younger generation that's coming up. We live in a very interesting time. We have an older generation that's having to reinvent itself. We have a younger generation that's saying, oh, my goodness, look at what's going on. I guess we can't fix anything or we're going to have a miserable life when we get older because this is the way it's supposed to be. And I want to say throw all of it out, for heaven's sake.
Well, you know, I really love that you brought this up because I just turned 72 and I've been youthing myself now for about the past 8 or 9 years.
Congratulations.
And the way I've done that is to say what I started out with, we're in a place of expansion. You either go with the expansion or you hold back. That's what I say, live your life beyond limitations in the book. Because we're limited by the belief system that says, like, I won't use the term at my age. I have found different ways, and the next book I'm writing, I've got a lot of this in there. I've found different phrases that keep you stuck in an old belief system. Mm-hmm. So I never say at my age. I just go, I've got a whole new life ahead of me. So I'll tell you a little story. I opened my school in 1994. In the beginning, it was a 4-year certification school. People continued to expand. In 10 years, I discovered that, oh my goodness, in 1992, I think it was, or 2002, I forget the millennium happened. In 2002, I realized that people were done after so many modules. We didn't need 4 years anymore. Now we could do what we needed to do in about 2 years, 18 months, actually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when this book started to get written, I knew I was on a brand new level. Now, I love my school. I will keep my school going forever. But I have a woman, Laurel Mamet, who has been with me since day one. I've trained her. She has taught with me. And I said to her, how would you like to be the director of the new Inner Focus School? Well, that happened about a year ago. We're opening that school in September, and she's going to run it. Because mm-hmm. now I want to do this next piece. I see myself more in the world in a very expansive way, touching people in large seminars, doing what I'm doing with you right now, and not so much in a classroom setting that I was before. Now, where do I have to go to get there? I want everyone on this call, and I know you're going to agree with it. I have to allow myself my next step. Mm-hmm. I have to say, I'm a creative, eternal being. There's no limit to what I can do, and there's no limit to the resources I have to be able to understand how to get there. By just changing that little belief system, which is really a big one, but it's not so big, then I can sit back and go, well, what's going to happen next? Here's another way you use yourself. You stop counting the days. I wake up in the morning and I go, I am so glad to be alive today. It used to be, you remember the statement of the first day of the rest of your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's sort of a cliche, but it's sort of real. Because for me, I knew we were going to have our call. I got excited this morning. I've been just fussing around and doing things. My Laurel just left. We finished a brand new workbook, and the whole workbook was around, well, Laurel, how are you going to teach this? This is the way I taught it, but now I'm moving into a new level, and so is she.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to have the statement in the church, when one step up, we all step up. When Dr. Jaffe and I went my way, I started my school, he went to California, my Blue Jean Buddha I'm referring to, beautiful man, fabulous teachings. We all came into a brand new way of being.
Mm-hmm.
A new creative self is born every morning. Can you expand into it? That's my statement I want people to hear.
I think that that is really a very joyful way to start the day. When you can open your eyes in the morning and say, I'm so grateful to be here. But more than that, I'm open to accepting the gift of the day. And sometimes the gift of the day might be totally, totally out of any expectation you might have. And let's address something.
Okay.
Because I have had a number of experiences in my life where something devastating has occurred on a day where maybe I woke up feeling very happy and very much at peace. And within a split second, things just shattered into a million pieces. Either it was someone's passing or critical illness or a child being ill. And I know my listeners listening to this will say, oh, can I relate to that? I've had this happen to me, that happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it's domestic abuse. I mean, all of these things that can cause such a ripping of the heart and spirit.
Yeah.
And that is something that you address in your book, which I think is important. And that is, you can take what is seemingly so unpleasant and you can manipulate it. And I use that word purposefully. You
okay.
can manipulate it so it becomes something that empowers you and doesn't disempower you.
Right.
Share with us your thoughts on that.
Well, you started talking about the rain in the Pacific Northwest. And when people choose to live in a particular area, they know what they're getting into. When I spoke to the people who had the fires all around, they understood that they were living in that type of a thing. And the
right.
question that was posed to me is, how do you find joy in the midst of this? And my answer is, you don't. You don't find joy right there. What you do is, And this is the chapter in the book where I talk about basking. You bounce and bask, bounce and bask. So let me get my thoughts straight here for a second, because let's go with anything that's going on. I don't care what it is. You just said, I wake up in the morning, I'm happy, and then I get a phone call, and it looks as if the world falls apart. This is the way I work, and that is I always listen carefully to what's being said. And I check my emotions. Where am I going with it? Am I sad? Am I angry? Am I upset? Do I feel distraught? Am I in despair? I must check my feelings to see where I am. Otherwise, I'm not going to know how to bounce. And so then what ends up happening, once I say, okay, fine, I really feel, let's say someone just passed. I really feel very sad. I'm sad for this person and this family. I feel really bad about what they're going through. And I might stay there for 30 seconds to a minute. And then I begin to process up the scale where I'll go into a place of addressing that person. One of my ministers, her mother just passed away. So I just did this process with her. And I said, isn't it wonderful that you had so many years with her before she left? And tell me about the last thing that you spoke of that made you smile. And so in that particular way, I'm trying to move her up the scale into hope. So you go from whatever the devastation is, and you begin to move up the scale to hope. All you want to do is get a little hope, a little anticipation, a little smile. And then you're going to back down again, and you'll feel bad because you got to do all the funeral arrangements. But then you back up again. You never go back to the same negative space or the same sad place or angry place you were. You'll always be in a little more expanded place. So if you as a conscious person know that, you use it to your advantage. So we were just down in Asheville. I launched the book in Asheville in April. She came down, a lot of my students and ministers and everyone came to celebrate the launching of the book, activatejoy.com. And I said to her, "You look so good now. You feel so wonderful. Talk to me about how joyful it was to finally clean your mom's room up." And then, of course, I got to listen to it a little bit. But in the end, it was like, oh, it felt so good. It felt so wonderful to know she's released from her pain. She couldn't say that to me before. So my thoughts about all of it is you've got to learn how to do it. In other words, you and I are in the world of giving people permission to now do this. We may be giving somebody brand new information they never heard before. And they're going to take that and say, well, if they can do it, then maybe I can do it. Maybe I can find something good in this devastating situation. In the fire, for example, one of the good things was only one person died out of all those thousands and thousands of people that are in that particular situation. Mm-hmm. So you can always find something to hit on. But I'm going to just finish with this one little statement. But you got the Yabbit world, which I have in the book, which is so important.
Oh, yeah.
And then the minute you hit on a happy thought, that Yabbit's going to come up and say, oh, yeah, but what about the house they lost? And what about this? And all their pictures are gone. But you hop to the other side and go, yeah, but all we have to have is life, and we know everything's okay. My kids are fine. My husband's fine. My wife is fine. My kids, everybody's fine, even the dogs. You see what I'm saying?
I'll add something to that, and that is that I have a client's friend that she literally 6 months ago lost everything in her life. Just it was totally devastated. That was 6 months ago. Today, even with everything gone 6 months ago, she now has more than she ever had 6 months ago. So life has a phenomenal patterning to it. And your book, Activate Joy, is something that I think a person could keep on their bedside table or in their office and just go through it, maybe a chapter at a time, if they're feeling as if they don't have a control over their life. If you have a friend that is stuck and you go, I'm tired of talking. I wonder what I could do. Buy the book. Activate Joy. Live your life beyond limitations. Alexandra Parnes is the author, and you can go to her website, activatejoy.com. You can find out about her school. You can find out about a lot more that's going on in her life, because at the young age of 72, she is starting a brand new phase of her life that's going to take her on new adventures. New journeys of exploration, and we should all keep that in mind. Alexandra, thank you so much for being my guest today. It's been a delight having you.
Oh, thank you, Donna, and it's so nice to connect with you again. God bless in everything you're doing.
Thank you very much. Activate Joy. Live your life beyond limitations. ActivateJoy.com. And I'll quote from her book, "Everything Goes Your Way All the Time." And that is her chapter where she says, from the pain of conforming to joy. Everything goes your way all the time. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away. More good things to share. Check out our website, activatejoy.com. We'll be right back.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. And telephone lines are open. If you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Well, if you're like millions of Americans, school's out in many parts of the country, and it's time to take that big V, the vacation. So, when you're doing some of this, I came across some interesting tips. People, when they pack, I don't care what generation you are. I'm guilty of this. I raise my hand. Usually we take far too much. But depending on where you're going, and with the way it is at the airports anymore, you know you're going to be paying high prices for taking a bag. I mean, I've been amazed at what some of these airlines are charging. So there's a couple that aren't charging for bags when you take them, like it was in the old days, which weren't that long ago. But this is something, these are just a couple of tips that I think are really helpful. So many times when we pack, we have our suitcases on the floor. And a good thing to remember is if you're packing your suitcase, why don't you put it up on the bed so it's at waist level? When you have it on the floor and you're packing everything on the floor, it can put a lot of stress on your back. So put your luggage up on the bed or on a table so that you're not bending over so much. There's no need to have any stressed back muscles, don't you think? And a lot of people have back problems, and they don't give this a thought. So just sort of keep that in mind. And for heaven's sakes, make sure you've got luggage that's on wheels. I remember times when I had to carry luggage. Yes, I had good muscles then. When you had to carry luggage because they didn't have wheels on luggage. I don't want to date myself, but I know that I am. When they came out with wheels, there were a lot of problems with the luggage because it wouldn't work very well. Well, now they've done a wonderful job. So many pieces of luggage, you can twist it, you can turn it. I mean, it just glides. It's marvelous. And you need to remember that when you're going through the airport. And when you have a carry-on bag, have one with wheels. I'm telling you, it makes a difference. And I see so many people putting these straps over their shoulders, and they've got these bags just loaded. They try to get everything in them so they can put it in the overhead bin. I'm telling you, have something with wheels. It really makes a difference. And with all the stuff we have to handle because of going through security anymore, having an item that's on wheels makes it so much easier. And if you're like me and you carry your purse, if you have a purse with a strap, you can put your purse on top of this carry-on unit that has wheels, and you can wheel it all. You don't have to have that purse on the shoulder where it can cause neck agitation, you know, muscles in the neck. Also, you want to be sure that when you're putting your bag in the overhead bin, I'm very fortunate, I guess because I'm short, people have a lot of sympathy for me, and usually there's a pretty husky guy that's around says, do you need some help? And I'll say, yes, please. Because you have to be able to put that bag up in the overhead bin. So the best way to do this is when you're facing the bin, contract your abdominal muscles, lift the suitcase to chest height, and then place it on the headrest
of the aisle seat, so you can readjust its position, and if necessary, rise up on your toes before sliding the suitcase into the bin. Now, if you're 6'4", nobody cares. But if you're like me, you're 5'1½". Yes, I stretch it as much as I can, but you're short. And when you try to get it up there, depending on the age of the plane, it's not always easy to get it up there into the bin. Like I said, there's usually someone to help. But I have had times where I've actually taken my carry-on, stepped into a seat, kicked my shoes off, stepped into a seat, and then I could put it in. So usually you'll have some help somewhere. But it's really important. Be careful how you work with this stuff, because you can cause some unpleasant situations with yourself physically. So just a couple of travel tips. I love to fly. I absolutely love to fly. I think traveling is fabulous, but you do have to be aware that you want to be as comfortable as you can be, and you also want to be prepared so that you can enjoy your flight. One of the things I recommend strongly is a neck pillow. And I've seen an apparatus where you can put it around your neck and it'll keep your head. So if you wanted to sleep, it'll keep your neck and head into positioning. But they don't supply pillows or blankets on your planes anymore. That was eliminated very quickly after 9/11. So you want to be sure that you have something that's going to keep your head comfortably positioned. Because I've yet to sit in a plane seat that's been comfortable. I've got a short torso, so my head hits the top of the seat, where usually they have something. If you're tall, it's comfortable for you. But I'm not. I'm a shorty. So just remember, you want to be comfortable, you want to be able to enjoy your trip, and you can. You don't need to have any more stress than necessary. Oh, I forgot yesterday to give you the ice cream cake recipe. Now, this is wonderful. You know, we've got a holiday coming up pretty soon, and the 4th of July, people just absolutely love their barbecues. They love all kinds of activities, and ice cream cake is a wonderful dessert to fix, and you can fix this in advance, and it is something that keeps very well in your freezer. And this is a chocolate chip ice cream cake recipe, but really, you could use your imagination and make this delicious cake. But there's no limit to what you could do with this. You could make a peppermint cake with vanilla ice cream or peppermint ice cream. I mean, just let your imagination be your guide. In fact, you might even want to ask your kids, if you have a bunch of kids, what are your favorite ice creams? And let's see what we can do to make little ice cream treats. In fact, I'll give you some other tips, but let's just check this one out. This is so easy. Chocolate chip ice cream cake. Now, you're going to need one package of your favorite dark chocolate fudge cake mix. That's right. Your favorite box, whatever. You're going to need 3 eggs, 1/2 cup of oil, 1 teaspoon. Let me repeat that again. 3 eggs, 1/2 cup of oil, 1 teaspoon of almond extract, and you're going to need 6 cups. That's about 1.5 quarts of chocolate chip ice cream. And you're going to need 1 container of frozen whipped topping. Of course, that needs to be thawed when you're going to use it at the very end. Now, this is how simple it is. This is so easy. You preheat your oven to 350 degrees. You're going to need 3 9-inch round cake pans. You spray those with cooking spray. And on a low speed on your mixer, you want to beat your cake mix, your 1 1/3 cups of water, eggs, oil, and almond extract until they're just blended. That takes about 30 seconds. And then on your put the speed up to medium, and you want to beat the batter then for 2 minutes. So you start off slow. You want to make sure all the ingredients are gently incorporated, and then you beat it for 2 minutes. Then you want to divide your batter among your 3 cake pans, and you want to bake them 18 to 20 minutes. And be aware, depending on the temperature of your oven, they could cook more quickly because you've got it divided between 3 pans. You want to test it with a toothpick. You want to make sure that it is coming out clean. You don't want any cake not baked. And then you're going to cool them for about 10 minutes, and then you want to transfer the cakes to your cooling racks. And, of course, you're going to let them cool completely. Now, this is what you do for the assembly of the cake. You're going to take a 9-inch springform pan, and you want to line it with plastic wrap. You put one cake layer on the bottom, put it top side down, spread with 3 cups of ice cream. Take your next layer of cake, put that on top, and you want to make sure you press gently the cake down onto the softened ice cream, and then you put the remaining ice cream on top of that second layer, spreading it evenly, put the other layer on, and then all you have to do is cover it. That's right. Cover it with saran wrap. Put it in the freezer. That's how simple it is. When it comes time to serve, when you're ready to serve it, you will uncover your cake naturally, remove the side of the springform pan. It's just going to come out just beautifully. And then you will put it on your serving plate, spread the topping over the top and the side of the cake. And before serving, you let your cake stand until slightly softened, maybe about 20 minutes. If it's really hot, it won't even take 20 minutes. And I would suggest using a serrated knife. That may help you go through. It all depends on how firm the ice cream is. And if it's extra firm, a serrated knife will work very, very nicely. Otherwise, just an extremely sharp, like a chef's knife, going through and cutting. But let me share with you something that my girlfriend does. And we had a big party at our home, and my girlfriend, Marcia, came over, and she was a little late. She said, "Oh, Dawn, I'm so sorry I'm late." Well, she had wanted to put something together for a dessert. She went out, and she got vanilla wafers, and she also got some other cookies. And she went and put favorite ice cream. She had pistachio. She had chocolate ice cream. She had all kinds of flavors of ice cream between the vanilla wafers. Well, it was perfect for the party. We had quite a large number of people. And she went around, and so people could just take these little vanilla wafers that had not even maybe a tablespoon of ice cream. And what she had done, she had put the ice cream between the cookies and had the plastic wrap made just that. And she said, "You can even use wax paper." And she just put them into the covering, tossed it all in the freezer. When she came over to the party, they were still frozen. They hadn't thawed very much. She made sure she had it in a cooler. And people just loved them because they could pick them up with their fingers. So if you're going to have a barbecue, if you want to do something a little different, you could have the cake. But if you have a lot of children, those ice cream sandwiches are absolutely perfect. Instead of getting an Oreo cookie, you make your own. And it is really going to be a hit with the kids and adults alike. You just have to remember, again, that you've got to keep them stored until just before serving time. So those are some tips that I just wanted to share with you. And I think ice cream cakes are wonderful. We all know about certain ice cream parlors and places that will fix you absolutely awesome cakes for any occasion. But it's fun when you can do this yourself, and you can have a lot of fun with it using all kinds of flavors. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. Give me a buzz if you want to chat. I want to share a little bit of trivia with you today. In August of 2009, there were 3 generations of the same family that were born within 30 minutes of each other in the same hospital in Dublin, Ireland. There is a family matriarch. Her name is Eileen McGinnis, 85. She was blessed with her 69th grandchild. 69th! What a family! Her 58th great-grandchild and her first great-great-grandchild. And they came through very fast. None of the mothers knew that the other mothers were in the hospital at the same time they were each preparing to give birth. Wow, what an amazing happening. Can you imagine that happening in your family? I cannot imagine it ever happening in mine. And then, of course, just another little bit of trivia here. Trivia is so much fun. You hear about things that you don't ever think are going to be even mentioned. But since this is June and it's summer, in 2009, there was a Bradley County Chamber of Commerce. Decided they were going to do something exceptional. They went and made a 168-foot-long BLT, Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich, an American favorite. This was done at the 53rd Annual Bradley County Pink Tomato Festival in Warren, Arkansas. It took them 2 hours to build that 168-foot-long sandwich. They used 300 pounds of bacon, 80 pounds of lettuce, 60 pounds of tomatoes, and to make it ever so flavorful, they used 220 ounces of mayonnaise. Wow. They don't say, though, how many people it fed. It was a bunch. Just a little bit of trivia. This is Donna Siebel. When we come back, I'm going to be sharing a story with you about a psychic course and a little bit more. Don't go away. Give me a buzz at 888-627-6008 if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of insight. We'll be right back.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Siebel. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com, that's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007, that's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Donna Siebel publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Every once in a while, there are stories that are recorded that are fascinating, unusual. And for those of you that heard the interview last Friday with Russell Targ, this is something that there's always going to be people that are skeptical. Well, when you come to discussing talented animals, whoa, that skepticism really, really reaches proportions that are phenomenal. It's so frequently the understanding that if you can't see it, if you can't hold it, you can't smell it, you can't taste it, you can't touch it, then it can't be real. That, we know, is not the fact. You're breathing air that's giving you the staff of life to be able to exist. You can't see it. You're breathing it all the time. You'll definitely know, though, if you don't have any. You won't live for very long. Well, let me digress into a story here called Horse Sense. Now, this took place in the 1920s. It's all about a horse called Lady Wonder. Now, this horse was given the title of the educated mind-reading horse. Now, animals have been noted for their psychic capabilities. I've seen it demonstrated so many times. To me, it's nothing, no big deal. It's a part of life. However, when people start documenting certain experiences, they sometimes want to make it bigger than life. And this horse, Lady Wonder, she met all of the criteria. Now, let me talk about another animal that there's a recording on other than Lady Wonder. In 1817, there was a pig by the name of Toby. This pig was just incredible with numbers and words. Now, pigs are extremely intelligent animals, very, very intelligent. There's been records of geese, goats, seals, and even rats that have had and demonstrated telepathic capacities. But Lady Wonder, not only is she a beautiful, beautiful horse, she lived outside of Richmond, Virginia, and she she was the first one that they have recorded, that I'm aware of, that they did a full-scale psychic investigation on. Mm-hmm. Oh, she's just such a lovely horse. Now, her owner was Claudia Fonda. They never, ever did this show business circuit. But people would visit Lady Wonder's stable. And the animal would just be right in its stall. And I've got a photo of the horse. And there's this interesting apparatus that's in front of it. But you have to remember, at that time, typewriters were how you did your correspondence. And the typewriter was right there by the stable. And Lady Wonder, for more than 25 years, would predict outcomes of national elections, ball games, and horse races. She would type it out. Well, in 1927, a very famous parapsychologist, Joseph Banks Rhine, he went to Richmond to test the horse. And he was just amazed at what the horse demonstrated. He said, "I think, though, that she's responding to subtle clues by her owner." Rhine had really broken a lot of protocol with his research. So he was especially sensitive to environments. And he thought, the horse is reading the owner. Well, he did some separate tests later on, and he thought, you know, it's all because the owner has knowledge of current events. But you know what? It didn't make any difference. Lady Wonder was not concerned at all. In 1966, she was still making and predicting all kinds of things. And, of course, the newspapers just loved her. Lady Wonder, the intelligent horse giving predictions. But there are many, many people and many, many animals that have been performing demonstrations of mental telepathy. And just as a point of information, there's a British mathematician, Samuel George Sowell. And in 1939, he had conducted more than 120,000 tests on 140 people of varied backgrounds and education, and found that telepathy was very much the real thing, just like Russell Targ did. So I just thought I'd share that little bit of information about the horse. So many things are out there that we just don't understand. But we're getting closer and closer. And like Russell Targ said, he's a scientist, he's a physicist. This was all because he had been a magician at one time. This is all, you know, made up. This couldn't possibly be real. Well, he's definitely proven over and over and over again. Not only is it real, but it is something that we all can utilize. And I think so many times we forget that we need to remember that we are a living expression that is meant to have this capacity as part of our survival kit. And so many cultures throughout the world, throughout history, have always acknowledged this and respected it. And it was something that was to be treasured and valued. And that's what you should do with your own intuitive understandings and perception. And as I tell my students in the classes, you're always going to be having to understand the language of your own mind, because everyone's mind moves in its own patterning. Oh, before I forget, I want to let you know, tomorrow we have a fabulous guest who is going to be talking about a subject none of us ever really want to ever have happen to us, and that is foreclosure. Anna Cuevas is a woman that has helped thousands of people to understand how they can save their homes. And her book is titled just that, Save Your Home. So if you know of anyone that's going through any kind of challenges with their home, with their finances, etc., and think, I just have to walk away from everything, I hope you will listen and that you'll pass the knowledge along. Because we need to understand that there are processes that can be utilized so that you don't have to lose your home. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking about what I was discussing for just a few minutes here, Extreme Intuitive Makeover with Ann Deedring. Again, the intuition part of ourselves, and we've all got it on one level or another, it's so important to honor and respect it because it is a useful tool in and of itself, as far as I'm concerned, you can put all the psychic ability in the world into a room, and it isn't worth with a plugged nickel. Why? Because if you can't use it, fiddle-faddle. Who cares? But when you understand that it's a tool that you can incorporate and utilize in your life, it empowers you to understand it's one of the many facets of the human personality and character that can leverage positive instead of negative. Well, we're just about out of time here. This is Donna Siebel. I hope you'll tell your friends about the show tomorrow and the other shows that are coming up. And don't forget to check out my website for my newsletter. That's going to be coming out again in a few days. All kinds of good things happening, good stories to share. And I want to thank you also for sending me emails about special things that you feel that I should be aware of. I really appreciate you taking the time to do that. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a wonderful, wonderful day or evening, wherever you might be on this earth planet of ours. And we'll be right here, the Donna Siebel Show, same time, same place. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.